Romans chapter 6. Biblical exposition. Faith that accompanies Jesus Christ after being saved from sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul has explained the righteousness of God from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 5. And entering chapter 6, he mentions the baptism that Jesus received from John. There is a clear reason for this. When he proclaimed at the end of chapter 5, "But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Some people misunderstood, saying, "If so, doesn't the grace of God become more abundant the more a person commits sin?" The Apostle Paul sternly refutes such misunderstanding at the very beginning of chapter 6. Certainly not. The core here is the expression, "we who died to sin." The Apostle Paul declares toward the people who are in Christ, "You are those who died to your sins." This is not a word to arouse moral determination or exertion of will. It was to make them believe the ministry of salvation that has already occurred in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ manifested that he became the Savior of those who believe in Jesus by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, having the sins of the world transferred to him, going to the cross, shedding blood, and resurrecting from death. Jesus showed that he became our Savior by receiving the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John. Taking the judgment of our sins in our place by shedding blood on the cross and resurrecting from death. Those who believe as their Savior the Lord who had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John, shed blood on the cross, and resurrected from death, have become those who can live accompanying that Lord. Therefore, the person united with Jesus Christ by faith has become one who cannot return to the old life where sin ruled, even if he wants to return. Today, many Christian believers misunderstand the word of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, and have the wrong thought of whether they must live a life of sanctification. However, the deeper truth that the text points to is something else. The person who received obliteration of sins by faith believing in the gospel, word of the water and the Spirit, knows that he has come to live by receiving a new identity as a righteous person whose old man died with Christ and lived again. It is too natural that a person who died to sin cannot return to the place of sin and live leaving Jesus Christ. We are those who received obliteration of sins by believing that the Lord received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified and shed blood, and resurrected from death to become our Savior. Therefore, it is natural that we cannot return to the old days and live. As many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. The core text of Romans chapter 6 appears here. The Apostle Paul brings up the word baptism in earnest in chapter 6. Verse 3, which he had not dealt with head-on from chapters 1 to 5, he asks, "Do you not know?" in a very stern tone at that. The Apostle Paul speaks words that reawaken the truth of the gospel. Word of the water and the Spirit. Saying, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Romans chapter 6, verse 3. The word "into" in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, becomes the key to unlocking the secret of baptism. The original Greek text for the word "into" contains the meaning of entering into and becoming one, namely, it meant to become one body by participating with the heart in the gospel word of truth, that Jesus received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified, and resurrected from death to become our Savior. If so, with whom must we unite? The word of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Us as were baptized into Christ Jesus." Therefore, this points to the faith of being saved from our sins by faith by participating with the heart in the ministry of the baptism that Jesus received from John. The baptism that Jesus received from John is recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. This word speaks the truth concerning the baptism that Jesus received from John the Baptist. Jesus said to John the Baptist, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. When Jesus received baptism from John, he spoke the word, "Thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This is the righteousness in which the Old Testament system of the laying on of hands, namely the principle of transferring sins, by passing them onto the head of the sacrificial offering shown in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4, and chapter 16, verse 21, was fulfilled. John the Baptist baptized Jesus from the position of representing mankind. And Jesus, who received that baptism, had the sins of the whole world transferred to his own body. The person who has the faith believing as Savior, the Jesus who went to the cross after receiving baptism from John and having the sins of the world transferred to him, is a person who becomes one body with Christ. Therefore, the person who believes the Lord, who received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified, shed blood, and died, and resurrected, becomes one who not only was baptized with Christ but also was crucified together on the cross and resurrected together from death. It is the exact faith as spoken in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were buried with him. This is not a simple word. It speaks of the faith united with his baptism, death on the cross, and resurrection by believing the ministry of Jesus Christ. And in the middle part of Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the gospel word of salvation that brought new life to the people of faith united with his baptism, death on the cross, and resurrection. Therefore, the person united with the gospel of the water And the Spirit begins the path of faith accompanying Jesus Christ as a new creation. Just as the people of Israel who partook in the Exodus could never return to Egypt again, it means that the person who believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit given by the Lord has become one who participates in preaching the gospel with the faith, united with Jesus Christ's baptism, death on the cross, and resurrection. The one who is born again by believing in the baptism Jesus received from John, his death on the cross, and his resurrection has become one who accompanies Christ. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." This word speaks of the person of faith who is united with Christ with a heart that believes in the baptism Jesus Christ received from John, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. So the text says the purpose for which the old man died with Christ and lived again is that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Here, the body of sin does not merely mean the instincts of the flesh. It points to the world where sin ruled our hearts. This power of sin collapsed in the ministry of Jesus, who had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John, was crucified, shed blood, died, and resurrected from death. Therefore, the person who is united by believing in his heart the baptism of Christ and his death on the cross no longer becomes a slave of sin. Verse 7 speaks of the result of that faith. It says that he who has died to sin has been freed from sin and has become a new creation. It is the word that whoever believes as his Savior Jesus Christ, who had the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism he received from John, was crucified, died, and resurrected from death, becomes one who preaches the gospel word of the water and the Spirit together with Jesus Christ. The righteousness spoken of in the text is not a righteousness a person has built up by his own effort, but refers to the righteousness of salvation given to us by Jesus Christ, paying the price of sin with the baptism he received from John and the blood he shed on the cross, and by his resurrection from death. That is, the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is contained within the word of Jesus receiving baptism from John. The one who has the faith united with the baptism Jesus received from John, his death on the cross, and his resurrection can accompany the Lord. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. This word speaks that the person who died together with Jesus Christ on the cross and resurrected together, can accompany Jesus Christ. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. The Apostle Paul speaks as a confession of faith, believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. He says that the person who participated with his heart in Christ's baptism and death on the cross is also one who participates in Christ's resurrection and new life. Therefore, the Apostle Paul speaks words of confession that he believes the Lord who had the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism Jesus received from John, died on the cross, and resurrected. Verse 9 explains more deeply the faith believing the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus Christ's resurrection was eternal. The reason Jesus Christ received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified, shed blood, and resurrected from death, was to break the eternal power of sin and death, and to make it so that we no longer act as slaves to sin. It was to make it so that sin and death could not have dominion over the people who believe in Jesus. He did the ministry of salvation on this earth so that the people who became one body with Jesus Christ by faith would not be dragged back into the swamp of sin and death. That is, the one who is in the gospel of the water, and the Spirit is not dragged under the power of sin and death. Verse 10 compresses that content. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. This word speaks of the faith believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ receiving baptism from John and dying on the cross is not an event that must be repeated twice or three times, but speaks the truth that he obliterated all the sins of mankind once for all with just one time. Therefore, it is saying that the one who believes the gospel word of salvation given to us by having sins transferred, going to the cross, shedding blood, and resurrecting from death, now no longer needs to make any effort to receive the obliteration of his committed sins. To the person who feels that the obliteration of sins is not perfect, even while believing only in Jesus, who hung on the cross as the Savior, it is saying that the fleshly thought that he must supplement it with his own determination and holy effort is wrong. Jesus receiving baptism from John and dying on the cross is the death to our sins. And his resurrection is the power of the gospel, word of the water and the Spirit that work to give us new life. Therefore, the person united with him has become one who is born again. The one who died together with Jesus Christ to the sins of the world has become one who lives again to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. The conclusion of the entire text is condensed in verse 11. The Apostle Paul has been explaining from verse 1 to verse 10 that the one who believes in the Lord, who received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified, shed blood, and resurrected from death, is the one who has obtained eternal life together with Christ. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The core here is the command to know and believe the gospel word of the water and the Spirit in that way. Here, the verb reckon is not a simple imagination or self-suggestion. It is closer to the meaning of acknowledging exactly the fact of having obtained through faith the already accomplished salvation and new life. Those who believe as our Savior, the Lord, who had the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism Jesus received from John, was crucified, resurrected from death, and eliminated our sins once for all, are those who have obtained salvation from all sins once for all, and have become those who will give glory to God by preaching the gospel for the rest of their lives, as those who have obtained the obliteration of sins and eternal life by believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. To the person who has been baptized united with Christ Jesus, two facts are already given. First, he is one who has received salvation concerning sin, because he was crucified and died together with Jesus Christ. That person is no longer a slave of sin, but has become a slave of righteousness. Second, he is one who has been saved by God and obtained eternal life in Christ Jesus. Because salvation and eternal life have come upon the person who believes in Jesus, baptism, death, and resurrection, he is a person who will live forever as one who is alive, having been saved by God. The Apostle Paul accepts these two blessings of faith by faith and commands to live as a slave of God's righteousness, having been saved from sin oneself. His command also newly establishes the starting point of the life of faith. Because the old man has died, he cannot stay in sin. And because he has obtained a new life, by faith, obeying God's righteousness is his duty. Even if the life of the flesh is not perfect, if the direction of the heart stands clearly toward God's righteousness, that person comes to live as a slave of God's righteousness. The question of Romans chapter 6, verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, becomes complete only when it takes as its foundation the faith believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that verse 11 speaks of. That is, the person who offers himself to God as one dead to sin and alive to God cannot have any justification in his heart to rationalize a life dwelling in his own sin. This is because the one who has received the obliteration of sins in his heart by the faith believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit has become a new creation in Jesus Christ. The core message the text conveys. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, is one of the texts that most clearly shows the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The Apostle Paul, after unfolding God's righteousness from Romans chapter 1 to 5, finally speaks in chapter 6 that Jesus, who had the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism he received from John, became the Savior of the believers through his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. By the baptism Jesus received from John, the sins of the world were transferred to Jesus' body. And the Lord, while having the sins of the world transferred to him by baptism, shed blood on the cross, died, and resurrected from death, testifying that we have now received salvation by the faith believing this word of the truth of the gospel. The one who believes in his heart that Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism he received from John, hung on the cross, died, and resurrected, is a born-again person who has obtained salvation from his sins and is born anew. The words united, together, and joined that the text repeatedly reiterates all remind us of the same gospel word of truth. That faith speaks of having become one body with Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christ's death becomes that person's death, and Christ's resurrection becomes that person's resurrection. Therefore, since the old man was crucified and died together with Jesus Christ, and resurrected from death together with Christ, the power of death can no longer have dominion over that person. The status of the one who believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit is one dead to sin and alive to God, and he has become one who lives as a new creation by believing God's righteousness. The gospel word of new life that this text teaches is not accomplished by simple ethical striving or religious determination. It is the gospel word of the water and the Spirit accomplished by Jesus Christ personally, having the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism he received from John the Baptist, being crucified, shedding blood, dying, and resurrecting from death. The Holy Spirit is present, working as new life within the heart of the person who believes this ministry of Jesus as salvation. This gospel of the water and the Spirit has become the gospel of life that has now brought us eternal salvation through Jesus, having the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism he received from John. His death on the cross and his resurrection. This is the message that Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11 conveys together. Now present yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul commands us to now apply the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which he explained up to Romans chapter 6, verse 11, to the realm of our actual lives and live by it, therefore connects the truth from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, with the application of the life of faith from verse 12 onwards. He is telling us the truth that because Jesus took the sins of the world passed on to him through the baptism he received from John, died on the cross, and resurrected from death, thereby giving us the removal of sins and new life, we have become those who live walking with Christ by faith. Verse 12 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. This word means that sin can no longer reign over those who are saved by believing in Jesus Christ, who took the sins of the world, passed on to him through the baptism received from John and was crucified. A person who believes that the sins of the world were passed on to Jesus Christ through the baptism he received from John the Baptist becomes a person who died together with Christ when Christ died on the cross, and resurrected together with him when Christ resurrected. Therefore, Sin can no longer rule over that person. He has become a person of a new creation. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of a person who has the faith that believes in this word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, he has now become a servant of God, who preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit according to the will of Jesus Christ and lives for this gospel. So, he comes to live as God's servant of righteousness. And his life of living as a servant of sin in the past has come to an end. Verse 13 shows the specific direction of that life. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Here, instruments can be called tools. This word is asking whether our hands, feet, mouths, and eyes are being used as tools of sin or as tools of righteousness. If a person continues to stay in the place of sin, his heart will also be influenced by sin. And if a person presents himself to righteous works, his heart will also incline toward God's righteousness. The Apostle Paul commands us to present ourselves to God, quote, quote, as being alive from the dead. This is the proper way of life for a person who has died together with Christ and lived together with him. Verse 14 adds a promise to that command. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. A person under the law continues to live under the condemnation of sin, but a person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit has escaped from the condemnation of sin because he has been saved from all sins. Even when a person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit with his heart reveals his weaknesses and shortcomings, those shortcomings cannot return that person to being a servant of sin again. This is because Jesus Christ took the sins of the world, passed on to him through the baptism he received from John, and did the work of eliminating all the sins of the world once and for all, through the ministry of his death on the cross and resurrection. When we confirm our salvation with the faith that believes in this word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit of salvation, Satan's accusation can no longer be applied to us. Satan's condemnation cannot destroy us. Whose servant will you choose to live as now? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves, slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey. Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. The Apostle Paul raises the question he had thrown in verses 1 through 2 again in a different way. Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. The answer is the same. But the logic drawing out that answer has become even deeper. Now, through the word slave, the Apostle Paul testifies that the believer is no longer a servant of sin, but has become God's servant of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 speaks of the spiritual principle of whose servant a person becomes within the gospel of the water and the Spirit as a clear truth. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, A person becomes the servant of whoever he obeys. A person who obeys sin eventually becomes a servant of sin, and its wages is death. A person who obeys the word of God's gospel of the water and the Spirit becomes a servant of God, and its end is the removal of sins and eternal life in Christ. Whether it is an idol, pleasure, or a person, the object to which one deeply inclines his heart and obeys acts as that person's master. In the spiritual life, there is always a master. If we obey the word of Jesus Christ, we are saved from our sins and become righteous. And if we obey things that go against God's will of preaching the gospel, we become servants of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, clarifies the new identity of Christians by faith. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Here, that form of doctrine refers to the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit delivered by the apostles, that is, the teaching about the ministry of Jesus taking the sins of the world passed on to him through the baptism he received from John, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. The text declares that the person who obeyed from the heart the teaching about the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit has become one saved from all sins. Only the person who believes in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit with his heart, and becomes one body with Christ, is released from the status of originally being a servant of sin, becomes a servant of righteousness, and comes to live the life of the righteous before God. This is the blueprint showing what kind of life of faith a person who believes in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit must live. Here, one thing must be clearly pointed out. The change in the status of the servant is not something a person created by himself. This is the salvation that comes upon a person who believes as Savior, the Lord, who took the sins of the world, passed on to him through the baptism he received from John, died on the cross, and resurrected from death. The Apostle Paul cried out, "God be thanked," while speaking of the person of faith who believes in Jesus Christ, who took the sins of the world passed on to him through the baptism received from John the Baptist, was crucified and shed blood, and resurrected from death. If one's own sins had not been passed on through the baptism Jesus received from John, Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection would have had no direct relationship with a person's salvation. However, a person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit believes that his own sins were passed on to Jesus' body through the baptism Jesus received from John, that the judgment for those sins was accomplished on the cross, and that new life has come upon us who believe through Jesus' resurrection. Therefore, the removal of sins given by the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a person's merit, but the salvation received through the faith that believes in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. A person who has become a servant of righteousness does not boast of his own flesh, but boasts only of the baptism and the cross of Jesus Christ. Present yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Romans chapter 6, verse 19 begins with the Apostle Paul's unique way of explanation. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. The Apostle Paul acknowledges that the metaphor of a slave might be unfamiliar or limiting in human terms. However, considering the weakness of the listeners, he says he will explain this truth with a metaphor that can be understood in everyday life. To that extent, this text is a kind teaching given so that the saints can easily understand it. The text exhorts us to present ourselves to God as servants of righteousness now, just as we presented ourselves when we lived as servants of sin. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. This is an exhortation to look back on the days when we lived as servants of sin. When presenting oneself to sin, one did not present oneself just once and stop. Rather, one fell deeper and deeper into uncleanness and lawlessness, and did not spare time and strength for that work. This word means to now present that heart and faith to God's righteous work and live as a servant of righteousness. Continuously presenting one's time, body, and heart for God's righteous work is the faith that pleases God. Here, the faith that believes in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit spoken by the Apostle Paul does not merely mean a moral level that gradually rises within a person. It points to the path where a person who has already received the removal of sins presents himself to God, thereby living a life worthy of the faith of a born-again person. The natural expression of the new identity declared in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, is precisely the word to present oneself to God as a servant. The word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit moves the believing person from being a servant of sin to a servant of righteousness. Therefore, that person now makes it his original mission to present his body and members as God's righteous tools. Verse 20 makes us look back at the old days one more time. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. This word means that when one was a servant of sin, one could not participate in God's righteous work. At that time, he was in a state of having no relationship with God's righteousness. But that was not true freedom, but a state leading to death. The reason the Apostle Paul said this word is clear. If one lived bound to sin in the old days, now one must live presenting oneself to God's righteousness just as much. The end of the two paths are death and eternal life. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Romans chapter 6, verses 21 through 22. The Apostle Paul clearly contrasts the end that the two paths meet. Verse 21 asks about the path of disobedience of the old man. What fruit did you have then, in the things of which you are now ashamed? This question makes one look back on the result of the life lived as a servant of sin. The fruit of the days lived as a servant of sin was nothing but shame, and its end was death. This is because sin is fundamentally bound to the power of death. The fruit born under the power of sin ultimately bears fruit as death. However, verse 22 shows that the believing person has now come to live as a servant of righteousness. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. A person who has been saved from all sins is a person who discards self-centered purposes and lives according to God's will. The text clearly says, having become slaves of God, a person who has been saved from his sins has already become God's servant. As God's servant, he devotes his strength to preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and lives using everything entrusted by God for preaching the gospel. This is the life of faith that believes in God's righteousness. Here, the word fruit to holiness is important. This means that when a person who has received the removal of all his sins by the faith that believes in God's righteousness presents himself to the preaching of God's gospel for the rest of his life, he comes to bear the fruit of evangelism. Preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit to other souls, directly or indirectly helping the preaching of the gospel, and all works that support the preaching of the gospel through one's own work and business are included here. When a person who is united in the heart that believes in Jesus taking the sins of the world passed on to him through the baptism he received from John, his death on the cross, and his resurrection presents his remaining life to righteous works. His entire life becomes the fruit of holiness, and its end is eternal life. The eternal life spoken of by the Apostle Paul does not point to simple survival where time continues endlessly, but to the abundant life enjoyed together with God. Christ's resurrection life has already begun within that person, is not cut off even past death, and is a life that continues into the eternal kingdom of God. The wages of sin and the gift of God is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The last verse of Romans chapter 6 is short, but contains a very important meaning. The Apostle Paul compresses the message of the entire chapter 6 of Romans into two sentences. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The core here is the contrast between wages and gift. The wages of sin is death. This tells us that a sinner has no choice but to receive the judgment of sin and reach eternal death. Therefore, in order to escape from his sins and judgment, a sinner must receive salvation by the faith that believes in Jesus Christ, who saved us from all sins and judgment by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, to have the sins of the world passed on to him, dying by shedding blood on the cross, and resurrecting from that death. Only then can one be saved from the judgment of sin and eternal sin and death. The Apostle Paul also says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. The word of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Means that death comes to a person who has sin remaining in his heart. But the gift God gives to a sinner is eternal life. God gives the removal of sins and eternal life as a gift to the person who believes that Jesus took the sins of the world passed on to him through the baptism he received from John, died on the cross, and resurrected. Whether a person considers himself a believer in Jesus or not, if sin remains as it is in his heart, he cannot avoid the judgment of sin. However, no matter how much sin a sinner has in his heart, if he receives salvation by the faith that believes in the Lord, who took the sins of the world passed on to him through the baptism Jesus Christ received from John, shed blood on the cross, and resurrected from death, God gives that person the removal of sins and eternal life as a gift. In other words, our salvation is God's gift given to the person of faith who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit in Jesus Christ. Inside the baptism Christ Jesus received from John the Baptist, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, the gift of eternal removal of sins and eternal life is prepared. A person who desires to receive the removal of sins in his heart obtains salvation and eternal life by believing in this word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and receives the blessing of being able to live together with the Lord forever. This one verse of Romans chapter 6, verse 23 summarizes the message of the entire chapter 6 of Romans. A person who has sin remaining in his heart had no choice but to receive the judgment of sin. However, God the Father gave salvation to those who believe through the ministry of Jesus, taking the sins of the world passed on to him by the baptism he received from John, the blood he shed on the cross, and his resurrection from death. The person who believes in this gospel of salvation of the water and the Spirit has come to live, receiving the eternal removal of sins as well as eternal life as a gift. The core message delivered by the text, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23, connects the truth of being born again explained from verses 1 through 11 to the realm of actual life. The fact that a person who has been baptized into Christ is dead to sin and alive to God did not stop at a simple ethical declaration. The truth of that gospel of salvation leads to the faith regarding where to present one's body and members. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness, and to follow the path of living as servants of righteousness. There are two truths that the text repeatedly makes clear. First, there is no neutrality in the spiritual world. A person becomes either a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness, depending on whom one deeply inclines one's heart to and obeys. That person's master is determined. Second, the end of the two paths is clearly different. The end of the path living as a slave of sin is death. And the end of the path living as a slave of righteousness is eternal life. There is no neutral zone between those two paths. The life of righteousness taught by this text is not a moral ability grown within human religion. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the gospel of salvation accomplished by Jesus taking the sins of the world passed on to him through the baptism he received from John. dying on the cross, and resurrecting. He who believes in this gospel has become one who lives a life of faith within that faith. Because we have been freed from sin by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, we have become slaves of righteousness. And as slaves of righteousness, we have become those who please God by presenting our bodies and members to God. And at its end, we receive the gift called eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 compresses all these truths of God's blessings into one verse. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23 was the word of truth that most clearly shows how the gospel of the water and the Spirit integrally changes a person's status, life, and end. Hallelujah!